Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And bring your attention down to verse 97. Psalm 119, beginning of verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. And we stop right there for just a moment. Our text is going to be the second half of this stanza here tonight. But this first portion, or first half of this stanza, is an expression of the psalmist's love and devotion to the Word of God. He states that very clearly, oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. And he states here that he, through the Word of God, gets understanding. He gets wisdom because of the Word of God. In verse 98, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. In verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. And so it's an expression of his devotion, his love for God's word. It's his understanding, or his experience, that he gets wisdom and understanding through the word of God. And last week we talked about how the world puts heavy emphasis on education, on learning, because that's the way to advance in this world. And yet the psalmist says that it's actually the Bible that is the source of wisdom and knowledge. Not the world's philosophies, not the world's institutions of learning. And the Bible teaches us that there are those who are ever learning, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so last week we talked about how, first of all, we noticed how the psalmist occupied himself in verse 97, oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. And we talked about how the Bible is the key to wisdom. He occupied himself daily with the Word of God. He's expressing this, or reflecting his devotion and love to the Word of God. And we talked about how the word meditation there literally meant reflection or devotion. In other words, he's saying, I'm loyal, I'm committed to the Word of God. It doesn't get tiresome to me. It's not boring to me. It's what I reflect on all the day. And so we talked about how the key to wisdom in this life is to learn to love God's Word. In Proverbs, Solomon says, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. And here's what it's going to do. When you get wisdom and understanding in your life, it's going to preserve you. If you love wisdom, it's going to keep you in this life. And then he says, wisdom is the principal thing. It's the primary thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And he says this because you that get wisdom, it proves or shows that you actually love your own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. He's talking about how it's going to turn out. And so the psalmist says, it's through thy commandments that I get wisdom, that I get understanding. And so the key is loving the Word of God. And then we talked about the measure of wisdom in verses 98 through 100, how the psalmist shows that his mind that's sharpened by the Word of God is keener than those who are full of philosophies of this world. And he describes three kinds of people here and compares himself to them to show that God's word is what actually gives insight and knowledge. In verse 98, he says, through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies. Godly wisdom, biblical wisdom, helps us to know how to respond to those who've been offensive, those who are troublesome, even the enemies. We talked about David as an example of how he responded. He behaved himself wisely, even when Saul was his enemy continually. He had opportunity to retaliate, but he didn't. And we talked about as well that James teaches us in James chapter 3 and verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. And the application was, when we respond with envy or strife or jealousy, that wisdom is not from above. It's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. And God's word teaches us how we can have godly wisdom, which then teaches us how to have the right responses. Then we looked at verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. A working knowledge of the Bible is what's going to give us understanding of the issues of life, more so than even those who might be, quote, professional instructors. It's the Bible that gives us an understanding of human behaviors that far surpasses the world's philosophies. It's applied Bible truth in my life that enables me to face the issues of life. And the psalmist is stating here that a mind that is sharpened by a steady diet of God's word is going to have understanding that the world's wisdom could never ever give. And then verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. The word ancients, it means elders there. But it really could describe those who rely on their experiences that come with age. And it's those experiences that they rely on to help navigate them through life. But the psalmist underscores the thought here that even old men are not always wise men, and experience is not the best teacher. Having experience in life can bring some wisdom to it. However, the psalmist makes the point here that experience is not the best teacher. The Word of God is the best teacher. You know what? You don't have to experience eating garbage to know that it's garbage and that it's not good for you. There's a better way of gaining knowledge. There's a better way of understanding. The application is you don't have to go through the dregs of life to understand that sin is wrong and it will always lead you away from God and the blessing of God. There's a better way to obtain knowledge than just experience. You don't have to experience the life of a drug addict to understand and know that it's not the way of blessing and not the way of peace in your life. Experience is not the best teacher. The Word of God is the best teacher, and experience will not prove true in our lives. Sometimes it's helpful, but it's not the thing that's going to be the steadfast, stalwart thing for life. It's not always going to prove true in our life because one person's experience is different than another's experience. And what makes yours more relevant than mine? We have to have something better than experience. And only God's word is that. The psalmist says here, God's word is what gives understanding. And God's word is always the same because it comes from a perfect, all-knowing God, and it doesn't ever need to change, no matter what a person's, quote, experience is. The word of God always trumps that. So, no other source is going to produce wisdom for life like the Word of God, and that principle remains the same. And so the one who is in the Word of God regularly is going to develop godly wisdom, which those that are less dedicated will not possess, and they're going to find answers and direction for life that will always prove true. And so the first half of this psalm is an expression of the psalmist's love and devotion for the Word of God. The psalmist states that he gets wisdom, he gets understanding through the Word of God. But that should lead to something. It's not about just gaining knowledge or understanding. That should lead to something in our life, and that's where we get to the rest of this portion of Scripture, or where we are going to see tonight the goal of wisdom. We saw the key to wisdom is to love God's Word. But secondly, we're going to see the goal of wisdom, and notice the rest of these verses in verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us with these principles. I won't keep you here long tonight, but there are some valuable truths for us if we'll engage with God's word here tonight. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the teaching of your word here tonight. And Lord, it's not solely on the speaker. Lord, it's definitely the part of the listener, the hearer, that will determine whether or not truth is heard, understood, engaged, applied in the life. And Lord, I can't make anybody do anything, and it's not my job to entertain or to make it palatable or make it interesting. We just simply look into the perfect law of liberty. And Lord, my prayer tonight is that you'd help us all to take it seriously. You'd help us all to focus our mind. Lord, what is it that you have for me tonight through your word? And be like the psalmist, oh, how love I thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Lord, I want wisdom and I want understanding. Teach me through thy word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, again, the psalmist states that he gets wisdom, he gets understanding through the word of God, but that should go somewhere. That should lead to something in life. And so the psalmist states here what the goal of wisdom actually is. And the goal of wisdom is simply obedience to the commands of God. That knowledge that we gain should lead to application in the life. The old truism continues today. You've heard it before. Sin will keep you from this book, but this book will keep you from sin. That's essentially what the psalmist is stating here. He gets this understanding and this wisdom from God's word, and he says it leads to something. In verse 101, he says, I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. And so the psalmist says here, that he loved God's word. It was his meditation. It was his foundation. And that led to something in his life. And that's what we see in the remaining verses. First of all, in the psalmist's life, it led to a separated life. He said in verse 101, I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. The word refrained there, it means to keep close at hand. It means to restrict. The word feet, well, you know what a foot is, you know what the word feet means. But the idea here has more to do with the affections and with the desires or with the heart. So in other words, I've restricted or I've kept close at hand my affections and my desires. That term, feet or foot, is a term that's used in the Bible in several instances, but for example, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifices of a fool, for they consider not that they do evil. And the instruction there is to keep your attitudes and to keep your affections in check. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. It should be restrained. It should be kept close at hand. That's the idea here. So the psalmist says, I've gained understanding, I've gained wisdom from your word, and it's led to this thought of keeping restrained the affections or the attitudes of the heart and of the mind. You know, we've seen many people who once stood on truth, even people who once used to be here, who are not anymore. That sort of thing should tell us that by nature, our affections and our attitudes can push us in a direction that is away from God. It can push us in a direction that is toward compromise. Our sinful nature always goes too far and in the wrong direction. And so the thought is, we always need to check our lives by the Word of God, not check our lives by what we feel in the moments. The standard that we ought to check our lives by is the Word of God. And the psalmist says, I've refrained my feet from every evil way. Put restrictions on those affections. Put restrictions or keeping it close at hand, those attitudes of the heart and of the mind. It's what Paul meant in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, when he said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest it by any means when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And the thought is, and the reminder for us, is that none of us are exempt from the need of restraint and diligence in our life. Because our flesh will always lead or push toward compromise. It doesn't matter what age you are, and it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. There's nothing good in our flesh, and there's nobody exempt from the need of restraint and diligence. The psalmist had taken very specific steps to check his spiritual pulse, to protect himself, not let his attitudes or affections run wild. He refrained, he said. I've refrained or restrained them. For what purpose? That I might keep thy word. The attitudes of the sinful flesh unchecked are not going to be in agreement with the word of God. Those two will not coexist together. I've restrained my feet so that I can keep your word. Those two things are not going to coexist. The flesh is always in disagreement with the Word of God. And the Bible talks about that. We've been created in Christ Jesus, this new man. Put on the new man that's created in Christ Jesus. The new man, the saved man, I don't know if you ever experienced this or understood this about your Christian life. But the saved man, the new creation that is in Christ Jesus, is created after the image of Jesus Christ. That is always in agreement with God. That's the side of you that wants to do right. That's the side of you that wants to be obedient to the Lord and to God's word. But the old man, the old flesh, the old nature is never in agreement with God's word. These two are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That's why there's a spiritual war. There's a side of me that always wants to please God and obey God. Always. But then there's that side of me that doesn't want to. And doesn't want to be in alignment with truth. That's the old nature. That's why there needs to be restraint. But how do we do that? Well, Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The psalmist said, the word of God is what gives him understanding, what gives him wisdom, but the goal of that wisdom, it leads to a separated life. I've refrained my feet from every evil way. Secondly, in verse 102, it leads to a steadfast life. He says, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Having God's wisdom through God's word leads to a separated life, but secondly, it leads to a steadfast life. The psalmist said, I've not departed from thy judgments. In other words, he says, I've stayed with it. I've stayed consistent. His experience wasn't, you know, experiencing some growth and some excitement about truth for a while and then fading away into the woodwork. He says, I've not departed from it. It's true, and I'm determined to hold to it. I think of Daniel. In the Old Testament, the prophet Daniel, the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He purposed in his heart. That settled it. And so when the point of decision came around, Daniel didn't have to go back and reevaluate whether or not he was going to be obedient to God. It was settled in his life. He purposed in his heart. It settled it. I don't have to go and reevaluate that, whether I'm going to be obedient to God or not. And listen, here's the application. We ought to have some convictions about truth, what is truth, and then be loyal to it. So, if there's a point of conflict at any time, and something needs to change, it's us that needs to change and come into conformity to God's word. Here's what happens. You know, people come to church, they're hearing truth. This is really good. It's exciting. I love experiencing what I'm learning and being taught the scriptures. And this is really good. I'm experiencing some growth in my life and so on. But sooner rather than later, typically, the Word of God starts to highlight and shine on my life areas that need to change. And now I've got a decision to make. Am I going to submit to the Word of God and conform to the Word of God? Or am I going to do what I want to do in my flesh? I don't want to change. So the heat gets turned up. And the Word of God starts to make demands on our life. Something needs to change. Conflict. My life is not in alignment with the Word of God. The Spirit of God is highlighting that. I don't like this. Following me? People's lives are confronted with truth. The screws get tightened down. The heat of the Word of God, the refining fire of God's Word starts to work in my life. I don't like that. So instead of aligning with God's Word, what do people do? So often they leave. So that they can be more comfortable or find something that they're more, quote, compatible with. Why are we not compatible with truth? What is it that is defining and guiding and giving direction in my life? The psalmist lived by a commitment to God's word. God's word is what I'm loyal to. So if there's conflict, that means that God is right, I'm wrong, let God be true, and every man a liar. The psalmist lived by that commitment. And you know, many people say that they live by a commitment to God's word. But when it comes right down to it, they only live by what they actually feel. I don't like to feel that. So I don't want to change. I don't want to come into conformity. And so we're going to find all the reasons why we're not compatible. Well, the psalmist said he did not depart. And the reason? What did he say? Because God taught him from his word. And the truth is, saturating our minds with the word of God to the degree that it soaks into our life, guess what, friend? It will modify your life and mine. You cannot stay the same. We cannot stay the same. Of course, we're going to come into conflict. Because the flesh has no good thing in it. Well, the Word of God will keep us from departing from the righteous judgments of God. Or In other words, it'll keep us from sin in our life. So the psalmist says, the wisdom of God that comes from the Word of God led to a separated life. It led to a steadfast life. But then thirdly, it led to a satisfied life. In verse 103, he says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. This is a metaphor, metaphorically speaking here, but it's a way of describing what God's word meant to the psalmist. And essentially what is being taught here, or the idea here, is that the word of God became the delight of his soul. It was the thing that satisfied. And the application is pretty simple. When we feed on the word of God, it's going to be sweet. And the more that we feed on it, the sweeter it becomes. Have you ever noticed that in your life? The more engaged you are with the Word of God, the more you love it. Even those things that are convicting or those things that are hard, it's sweet to me, or it should be sweet to the child of God, because it shows me, it tells me that God's not going to leave me off to myself. He's not going to leave me to my own devices. He cares for my soul, and he's teaching me to correct me, to bring me into alignment with him, because that's where real satisfaction and blessing and fulfillment in life is in obedience to the Word of God. So even that is sweet. And the more we feed on it, the sweeter it becomes. And listen, if we're saved, there will be a love for the Word of God there. It's something that God gives in salvation. It's something that God gives in a new creation. There's just something about it for the soul. If you're saved, it's going to be there somewhere. And a person who has no interest in or love for God's Word, I would highly question whether or not you are actually a child of God or born again. Because the psalmist is stating here, it's sweeter than honey to my mouth. It's the delight of my soul. Maybe you're like me. In your experience, there are times in your Christian life where you're not reading the Word of God like you once did or like you should, and you know it. And then there's something about it. When you open up your Bible, you pick it up, you open up your Bible to read it, and there's something about it that just, it's down inside, and you're just like, I have missed this. I have missed God's Word. It is such food for my soul. It's sweeter still to not only see God's Word at work in my own life, but when God has affected my life through His Word and I've been instructed myself from it, and then God uses me to turn around and help instruct another, man, the Word of God becomes even sweeter then. Because not only is it at work in my life, but now God is working through my life and through His Word to make a difference in somebody else's. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. His life is satisfied. The wisdom of God and God's Word has changed him. And he says it's sweet unto his taste, sweeter than honey. It's the delight of his soul. And then he concludes in verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. The conclusion is pretty simple. The soul that is deeply instructed in God's Word hates every false way. It's not simply warned, don't take the false way, but God's Word has changed me where I don't want anything to do with the false way. Does that make sense? In other words, here's what it is. As God's Word permeates a person's life, a distaste for sin is the result of Bible love and Bible study. It affects our life in a practical way, and the goal of that wisdom is to come into conformity with God's Word, to be applied practically in my life, to develop Christ-likeness. The Word of God is so valuable. He starts with, "Oh, how love I thy law. It's my meditation all the day." He ends with, "I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." The goal of wisdom is to transform your life. That's what God's Word will do. So, get in the Word. Get in your Bible every day. And you know what? I wonder how many of us have ever experienced that. Same principle. It's my meditation all the day. The more I engage with it, the sweeter it becomes to my taste, the more delight it becomes to my soul. The longer we're saved, the more we ought to love God's truth. Amen? And when you do, it'll transform your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for truth. That it doesn't change. That it's powerful. The Word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of a person's heart. It's not just words on a page. It's alive to the point of transforming people's lives. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to fall in love with your Word more and more. We depart or stray or neglect the Word of God. We start living by our own understanding. We live by our feelings. Rather than having a conviction to live by truth. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn to lean on and to love God's Word more and more as we sojourn in this life. And as Solomon said, you get wisdom, which comes from God's Word. It'll preserve you. It'll keep you. And the one who gets wisdom, gets understanding, is one who loves his own soul. Give us that kind of understanding, Lord. We need you, and we thank you that you have given to us all that we need in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.